Good evening. The time is now just after 7 p.m. on this Friday evening, and it's time for Power Hour. Power Hour is about applying God's Word in prayer. The theme for tonight, and it's some time since we've actually done a proper Power Hour, but we're doing so nevertheless. The theme is go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Preach the good news to everyone. This is taken from Mark chapter 16 verses 15 and 16. Now the full verses are, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So in this Power Hour, which is about applying God's word in prayer, we're going to be praying specifically about understanding for this, and that these words will come alive to all who hear them. It's quite one thing to read words, but it's quite another to understand. And in the Bible, Jesus speaks quite often in parables. And he said at one time that he speaks in parables quite often to the people, so that though hearing, they're not actually listening to what is being said. They're seeing, and they're not actually believing what is being said. But it's our prayer that people will hear and indeed believe this very night. Acts 16 verse 31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household. Now, this is from a later point in the Bible, and it's from a point where Paul and Silas, the Apostle Paul and Silas, were in prison, and they had been singing songs, and there was an earthquake, and they'd been singing songs in a prison, and all the doors had flung open, and the shackles had fallen from the legs and arms of the prisoners. But they were all still there when the jailer came in and called for lights. And Paul said, yes, we're all still here. And the jailer was so overcome by this, trembling, he asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul then said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And as a consequence of being saved is simply putting your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And because of this faith that you exercise in believing and declaring, when Christ comes back again, as the Bible says that he will, all those who believe will be saved. But Christ also tells all his believers to go out into all the world and preach this good news to everyone. And that brings in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Right now, because of everything that's going on in the world, there's a lot of people who are hearing the gospel, but because it's not necessarily being backed up in words or deeds or other things, or even because people's hearts and minds are clouded by other things, they are hearing, but they're not really listening. And so they're not actually getting a hold of what the gospel is about. But the gospel is for the whosoever, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And this everlasting life comes only through Jesus. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the primary function. And so it is our prayer this evening that those who are hearing will indeed listen. And when they listen, that there will be understanding there. That even for a moment, while this COVID-19 pandemic has peeled back many, many layers of people's lives. And quite honestly, I think a lot of people feel a little bit exposed, and yet they're secluded in their houses, but they don't have the usual things that they used to have to concentrate on. They don't have their work. Maybe they have still their electronic devices, but they don't have lots of things. And what God is doing through this time, this COVID pandemic, God wants that each and every person would hear and indeed believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. This is the message, because God loves each and every one. Whosoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now, it amazes me sometimes, listeners, that God has made it such that he's given me a greater boldness during this time. Yes, partway through prayer, but he's given me a great boldness to be able to speak out, speak the gospel. And it needs to be spoken and spoken clearly, and the word of God explains it. So I'll read this scripture once again from Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And it's as simple as that, I'm afraid. We're not the ones who make the judgments. God is the one who makes the judgments. God is the one who says what is and what should be. And who am I to argue with God? Though I can pray to him, and I have prayed, and I do still continue to pray, because God tells us to pray about everything. And that's why we're coming together today in prayer, this evening, to pray for the people, not only the people here in the United Kingdom, but the people in the world, that the people in the world and in here in the United Kingdom might hear but also believe. Hear and believe. Let's go and pray right now. And I will do so using that scripture. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Heavenly Father, you want that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. I'm using your words here, Lord God, to remind you and to tell the people who are listening about you. Please, Lord God, in their understanding and also in mine and in the hearts of your people, may there be a true listening to the word, a true understanding of the word. And as you said, you want none should perish, but all should have everlasting life, Lord. Make it be such that people who have and are listening will find that understanding. May more ears and eyes and hearts be open to you, Lord God. May people choose to put aside all the things that are concerning them, their worries and cares and concerns. I know I have many. But Lord, right now I choose to put these things aside, because one thing is needful. There are fields white under harvest. There are lots of people out there who are going to a life without you, going to a death without you, who are not knowing you, who are not fully understand or comprehending, thinking that maybe good works or riches will get them through. People not fully comprehending, but yet, Lord God, that you will bring into people's hearts and minds for the first time even a realization of who you are as Lord and Saviour. This I pray, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, make your people even more bold than ever before. Bold in our outlook, bold in the way that we live our lives, bold in actually preaching the good news to the poor, preaching the good news to people so that people can see and hear clearly and understand, Lord God. Lord, take away the scales from their eyes. Take even away the people who are trying to stop them from hearing and seeing and understanding and believing. Take away those people so that people can truly see, truly hear, truly understand, truly believe, Lord God. We're praying for this because, Lord, you said, whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm praying, Lord God, because of an urgency, Lord God, that you put into my heart, an urgency, Lord God, that whatever is in this world will not last. Everything will pass away. All the things that we hold so dear in this life will pass away. Our money, our wealth, land, everything that we see and hold dear will just disappear. But you, Lord God, you, Lord, are Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. You are Jehovah Hosenu, the Lord our maker. Jehovah Maki, the Lord who molds me. But Lord, you made everyone. You mold everyone, Lord God. Lord, you are my sanctifier. Jehovah Mekodeshkem. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. You are also a rewarder, Lord God. You are a provider, Lord God. So why should anyone have need of anything? Because you provide. Look around everything that you have. How did all this come into being? Yes, you might say people created it. Yes, but how did people get that understanding? Where did all the resources come from? Yes, they came from the earth. But what was here before all people arrived on earth? How did that get into place? Were we there when the world was created? Did we see everything that was done? Do people fully know that there is in fact a God who created all of this? Not in our understanding, but according to God's understanding. And in a way, and God simplified it through Genesis chapter 1. And people are confused by this. But yet, we have a living, loving God who loves each and every person so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place. Who wants that none should perish, because at the end of days, every single person, without exception, will be judged. Those who have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour will be redeemed from those who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour. Anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. That is what God's word says. And it's God's word that judges people. In another part of the Bible, listeners, we read how God's word is like a hammer that shatters a rock in pieces. And it's also like a sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God knows each and every person, whether we like it or not. He knows each and every one of our hearts, whether we like it or not. all our inmost thoughts and feelings. And for those who have given and accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour of their lives, need not fear, but can open themselves up. And so I say, may it be none of Rob and all of God, so that people can clearly see who God is in me. And may it be said the same for all God's people. Let Lord God, I'm praying again, let the lives of all your people reflect your glory. Let the lives of all your people, Lord, reflect your glory, reflect your salvation, reflect you, so that you can see yourself in us and others can see you in us. Let there be in our hearts love, not hate, hope, not fear. Let us radiate these things. Let each and every one of the hearts of your people reflect the true nature of God and have love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, patience, goodness, faithfulness, but also humility, compassion, service, and audaciousness. For God calls us to be bold and he enables us to be bold. He is enabling me to be bold right now in saying these things to you. When I started this program, I had a scripture, but I didn't know how this program was going to turn out. But as always, when I do these programs, God is right there with me. He is the one who gives me the words to speak to you. He's the one who fills me with hope. And it's my prayer that each and every one of you who are listening to today on this broadcast on this Friday evening, this Power Hour, will hear and believe and receive salvation. Each and every one of you. It's my prayer that you'll put aside everything that is clouding that. Jesus told a story. He told a story of a number of different types of people. A story, first of all, the story starts of a farmer who sowed seed. And when he sowed the seed, some of it fell among the path. But when the sun came up, any shoots soon wilted away. In fact, it was taken up by birds. So it was just gone before it had any chance to go. Some of it fell on stony ground and it didn't have much root. And that root which it did have, yes, it soon withered and died. Yes, because of the hardships and because of the difficulties in people's lives. Some of the seed fell among thorns. And the thorns came up and choked that which all the tender young plants which were coming up, which the farmer had sowed. The thorns are basically the cares of this world, the distractions of this world. And some of the seed fell on good ground that was tilled, good ground that had lots of nutrients. And that ground came up and produced a crop that was even 30, 60 or 100 times as much as had been sown. And they relate to the four different types of people. People who, as I explained at the start, who are hearing only the gospel but not really responding, and that which they do have is just taken away. The next is this group of people who, when they hear the gospel, they accept it with joy, but when trials come, they quickly fall away. Another group of people still so obsessed with lifestyle, obsessed with money, business, jobs, techie devices, and all other such things. And it quickly crowds out family life, excuses galore, and it crowds out what seed was actually originally planted. But then there's also seed, that was planted in the good ground, where the people are such that that plant has a chance to grow. And as that plant grows, the person responds through prayer, through love. That person responds to the gospel. That person has truly listened to the gospel and is ready to respond. And as a result of responding to the gospel, and as a result of listening carefully and responding and saying yes to the gospel and living every day for the gospel, then comes up a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as was sown. And it is that many more people would be like that. Even the people who are, though hearing, but not actually listening, that more of those would come to be in a ground, prove to be a ground that delivers a great big crop, that allows the plants to grow, that allows the gospel to grow. Then I'm praying also for the group of people that where the seed fell on the stony ground, but that more of them would come to being and allow themselves to be changed by God and used so that they too can yield 30, 60, even 100 times as much as been sown. And also for the third group, where they have put worldly things and worldly pleasures, gaming, cinema trips, coffee shop visits, money, jobs, family, and anything else, drugs, alcohol, other diversions, ahead of the gospel. I pray for those people too, that more people will come to know the gospel. More people will realize how important it is that the gospel is heard, also believed and accepted. Experience too. My prayer is that every man, woman, boy and girl who has accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour would rise up and be ready to make sure that there is indeed a big harvest. My prayer is that God will send out more harvesters, more people to tell about the great good news of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. This is indeed the message of the gospel. It is there for the whosoever. John 14 verse 6, where Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And there's no other way in which people can be saved but through what Christ Jesus did on the cross. And how do we know that Christ was raised from the dead? Well, the Bible clearly tells us, and it's this word that is really important. So I'm going to read. In fact, I'm going to go and read from Matthew chapter 15 through to Matthew chapter 16. And through this, I pray that you yourselves, the listener, will be able to make up your own minds. You've heard what I had to say, and I believe it was God inspiring me to say what I did. But now listen to what the Bible is from the New Living Translation. Jesus' trial before Pilate, from Mark chapter 15. Very early in the morning, the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You have said it." When the leading priests kept accusing him of many crimes, and Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they're bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. One of the prisoners at the time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder in an uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. "Who would you like me to release? Would you like me to release to you this king of the Jews?" Pilate asked, for he realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the leading priest stirred up the crowd to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, "Then what should I do with this man you call king of the Jews? They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the Praetorium, and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the courtyard just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha, look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests and the teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of the Jew Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him." Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. "Wait," he said, "let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down." Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman soldier who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Some women were there, watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and also Salome. They had been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the High Council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead, so Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph brought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in a cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. Saturday evening, after the Sabbath had ended, this is now on Mark chapter 16, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The woman was shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The woman fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. We carry on with Mark. Then they all briefly reported this all to Peter and his companions. Afterward, Jesus himself sent them out from the east to west with a sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. But after Jesus rose from the dead early on the Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples, who were grieving and weeping, and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and that she'd seen him, they didn't believe her. Afterward, he appeared to in a different form to two of his followers, who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They'll cast out demons in my name, and they'll speak new languages. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Now, this is something, a phrase that is said quite a bit in churches, thanks be to God for his word. But in essence, this is what we are doing. We are thanking God for making sure that this word is available to us. There are the four different gospel accounts, but certainly Mark and Luke, certainly Matthew, do contain this scripture about going out into all the world. And this is what we're doing through the internet radio here. We are going out into all the world and making sure that people in whatever country it is. And I'm very pleased to say that because of the internet, we are able to broadcast and also podcast as well. We're able to broadcast to many different countries. And we have countries, people listening in fact, from Japan, also from the United States and from Belgium and from France and Greece. We have people listening in from Brunei, Darussalam. So wherever you're listening in from, know that you're able to hear the gospel. This is why we make sure that the gospel is available, and that in over 30 different languages. John 3:16 is available from this station in over 30 different languages. And we want to make sure that those languages are available to far, far more people than present. So if you are a believer and you're listening and you are perhaps in an African country or a Malaysian or Asian country and or even in a South American country, we need Portuguese. John 3:16 in Portuguese. Do let us know, we would love to be able to record that and then make that available as a podcast, so that other people can hear the good news of the gospel, and you would be helping indeed us to go out into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. You will be helping in that, because you'll be part of it, and you'll be preaching the good news just by reading John 3:16 in your own language. So I'll read that scripture again, and then we'll say a wee prayer, and then we have Sandra Smith to come on reading the Father's love letter. There's then an opportunity to respond to the message that you've heard today, would love it if you would get in touch with us. This program is called The Power Hour. Power Hour is about applying God's word in prayer, and this evening the theme is go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And I've been emphasizing this, but also emphasizing for those who are listening to hear and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. To hear and remember that whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. So let's now go and pray once again, and a few notices quickly first, just to let you know this program will be available as a podcast following this, and the program will go out also again on Saturday evening between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. and also on Wednesday evening between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. This is Gospel for Grampian. Let's go and pray right now. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for those who are listening both on the live broadcasts, the Listen Again, and also on our podcasts. I pray, Lord God, that those who are hearing this, and indeed the Father's love letter, will be impacted for Christ, impacted so that they give their lives to Christ and say, Lord, you are my Lord and Saviour. And so, as a result, pass from death to life, from condemnation into God's kingdom, and be able to and ready to tell other people that they too can know the good news as well. Amen. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. We're going to be finishing off with the Father's love letter, and we'll be back again another week at the same time, 7 p.m. This is the Power Hour, where hearing is believing, yes, but particularly where we're applying God's word in prayer, so that hearing really will be believing. Bye-bye for now.
My child, this is an intimate message from God to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry. I am the complete expression of love, and it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than any earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with joy, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are broken-hearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you, even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and you will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God. Would you like to come home? All you need to do is simply believe that Jesus died in your place to make a way for you to be born into his family. The following words might help you express your thoughts to God. Father, I want to come home. Please make me your child. I turn from my sin and accept your forgiveness made possible through your Son Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. I place my faith and trust in Jesus alone to save me. Thank you for making me a part of your family. Amen.
If you have prayed that prayer and you have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can start to pick up your Bible from the shelf and read God's Word. You can also phone the studio at 01224 898 008 and you can also drop us an email, info@gospelforgrampiang4g.org.uk. From there, we will help you get to a church which is local to you and will help you guide you in your newfound spiritual life.